Father, to make us more than we can be. We surrender to You, Lord. If we look to You, Lord, we come here tonight, Lord. We want to hear from You. I surrender myself to You, Lord. Use me as You see fit. It's Your word, Lord. Use it in the way that You need to in every heart tonight. Change us, motivate us, cause us to rise up, and cause us to take one more step into being more than we can be. We love You, we praise You, we worship You, we give You all honor and glory, and we proclaim, Jesus, You are worthy. We love You, Lord. We ask this and say this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. As I was waiting on God, just kind of meditating and looking up some scriptures tonight, I kind of set things aside, and all of a sudden a thought came to me. And for Bill and Harry, and anyone who's done any extensive driving or who's gone through some really intensive driver's training, like they do with a school district and things like that. And, of course, it has to do somewhat with hunting and gun safety, too. But what I heard tonight was, what is your sight distance? What is your sight distance? Now, you say, what do you mean by that, Bill? You know, it's amazing how when circumstances come. And by the way, I just want to tell you that we had a chance to call Stan and Connie last night. Desiree was there. We got a chance to pray with them, Desiree included, to tell them how much we love them. And I know something was accomplished in the kingdom. We each one took an opportunity to pray as God led us, as the Spirit of God moved on us. And I know Stan and Connie were encouraged. And even though maybe we didn't hear it, I know that Desiree was touched too, to know that nobody's sitting in judgment over her. You know, that's important. You know, that's going to change her sight distance. Amen? Hallelujah. And Stan's comment, and I know this is the case, and I say this to the whole church, whether you were there or not, I know you've been praying. And he said, thank you. Stan and Connie said, thank you for warring. You understand warring? In the spirit, holding them up and warring against the onslaught and the nonsense that the enemy's tried to bring through all this. Amen? So, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, anyway, I just want to pass that on to you, but I got to thinking about sight distance. And you know, it's easy when we're in a battle, and I know there's not a person in this room who hasn't had some kind of a battle where all of a sudden their sight distance got stifled. In other words, it's like you hit a wall and you can't see over the wall. All you can see is the wall. And the wall represents some kind of a problem in your life or some kind of a circumstance in your life. Amen? And all of a sudden our sight distance is limited. We know the word. We know it. We can even hear it whispering in our ear, but we get focused on the problem or the what we consider to be the intensity of the problem. And we lose our focus and lose our sight distance of what's on the other side of the wall. And who's the one that's walking with us and accomplishing things through us because we're surrendered to Him. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I want to ask for a show of hands. Very good. For the trees. Yeah. Anyway. And so, you know, I got to thinking about one of the things that I looked up tonight, just real briefly, and I would encourage you, if you got a concordance, or ask somebody, you know, get Patrick to tell you. The scripture that says that the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Now, what does that mean? Well, that became very real and very evident to me last night as we were praying and through today and into this evening when I was seeking God for what am I going to say? Lord, what do You want to say to these people? What are you going to bring through me tonight? And I looked at that, and it's very interesting. It says the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, they're similar, but they're different. So if you get a chance, look that up. I didn't write it down. I want you to do that. I want you to participate in this tonight. Go home and, you know, consider that and look at that. You know, we're in a war, and sometimes we forget that we're in a war. You know, things come and happen all the time, and I mean, we wonder why in the world, or you know, why is this so difficult, or whatever. And it's because we're in a war. The cool thing is, though, is we don't have carnal weapons or tools in our warfare. We have sure weapons. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we don't war against flesh and blood. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. It's powers and principalities and darkness and things unseen. The realm of the angel light, of Satan. Amen? We all have our crosses to bear. But anyway. Anyway. And that's where I started to think tonight and just began to, you know, think about our sight distance. Because sometimes we get it, it's like all of a sudden there's a blinder on us. We forget what's at the other end. We forget what the promises of God are. You know? And what we need to do is we need to be in the presence of God. And when things come, rather than allowing the enemy to distract us and pull us away from what God says and how God tells us we have the victory, you know, we're told we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. We already have the answers. We may not see totally, but when a circumstance or a situation happens, if we can keep from getting focused on what appears to be the wall in front of us, or the speed bump, if you will, whichever you prefer, then we're going to have victory that we can't imagine. Now, right now, there's a speed bump. But that's not the end of the story in the Setliff family. I will tell you that they need to be continually held up. Now, anybody who would be in their position, who's been warring the way they've been warring, and let me tell you, I mean, they feel the prayers, they feel the support, and they know. And Stan even said to me, he said, Bill, he said, if I didn't know that I had the support, that's what's keeping me going. He said, if I didn't know I had that, I don't know. See, even somebody with Stan's stature, as we view his stature, can become weary in the battle. It doesn't mean he's going to give up. That's not what he's considering, but you become weary. And you sometimes sit back and wonder, how many here, don't show your hands, I know everybody here has done it, but how many here have thought, Lord, I'm in this alone? Limited sight distance. Because the very thought, the very words that were just spoken, I'm in this alone, means you've already forgot about who's walking with you. Who's indwelling you. Amen? Right? He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. You know, we read things like the poem, the footprints in the sand. And you see, if you think about that poem, that's a good example of limited sight distance. God, you said you'd never leave me. You said you'd never go away from me. You said you'd keep me in the palm of your hand. And now I'm going through this battle and I only see one set of footprints. And if we'll shut our mouth and stop for a second and recalibrate our sight distance, that's when we see that's when he carried us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but that thrills me clear to my core. I know there's testimonies. Billy's got lots of them from just recent times, just in the past 6 months to a year. I mean, continually, things that God's doing for him. See? It's what happens when we can finally get off the focus of things around us, circumstances and the speed bumps and all the things that come to distract us and detour us and you know, get us so we forget what it's all about, you know, that we lose that focus. But when we keep that focus, and folks, let me tell you something, your life depends on your sight distance. When you're driving a vehicle, when you come to a corner, you have a limited sight distance, you know. You've got to be very careful. You don't know what's coming around that corner. Or you've got a small hill. You can only see to the top of that. You don't know what's on the other side. Just to detour for a moment, reminds me of the two guys that went and applied for a driving job. or actually one guy. And he went and he was talking to the foreman and everything, or the, you know, the superintendent of the trucks and all that stuff. And the foreman was pretty impressed with him. And so he said, well, what time do you want me and Leroy to start in the morning? If we pass your, and of course it was required that they do a written and an oral test, or that he do that. And the foreman said, wait a minute, I don't know any Leroy. What are you talking about? Oh, he says, me and Leroy, we've been together for a long time. He's my helper. He's my, what would they call, lumper or swamper. So Leroy says, so the foreman says, well, he says, you know what? He says, take the written test, and we'll talk about it afterwards. So this guy took the written test, and he did better than any driver had ever done in his life before. So the foreman says, all right. He says, I'll tell you what. He said, I've considered it, and since you did so well, you and Leroy can start first thing in the morning. I'll send you guys out on the truck. So he's all excited. He says, all right. He says, you know, what's my oral test? So the foreman thinks for a minute, and he says, you're coming to a hill, and as you're coming down the hill, there's a 14% grade. At the bottom of the hill is a narrow bridge, and on that narrow bridge, there's a truck jackknifed, and your airline breaks on the way down. And for anybody who doesn't know about trucks, your airline's your lifeline, because that's where your brakes, how your brakes operate in pneumatic. And the foreman says, what are you going to do? And the driver thought for a minute, and he said, why, wake up Leroy? And the foreman says, you do what? Oh, he says, me and Leroy, we've been together for 17 years, and we have never seen an accident like we're going to have. Limited sight distance, folks. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So, he had sight, but it was limited, you know. At that point, you know, what are your options, you know? But all kidding aside, though, you know, if we stop and think about it, the times when we fared well under circumstances and under attacks is when our sight distance was where it needed to be, on the other side of the problem. Going back and remembering the word that's been planted in us. Amen? The implanted word that's been planted in us. Amen? And that's what caused us to go on to victory. That and the fact that when we needed the help and when we couldn't quite see over the circumstance, we had brothers and sisters, pastors, friends to hold up our arms and go through with us. Amen? To go through with us. And more than that, the one who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Who will be able to take you out of my hand? Amen? Who's able to triumph over you? He said, be of good cheer. You know, I've overcome the world. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but I've overcome them all. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, it's not possible for us to fail unless our sight distance is blocked. Amen? See, there's nothing in our lives. There's nothing. The Bible says there's nothing that happens or nothing goes on that's not any temptations and those things that are not common to man. And Jesus says, now listen carefully. He says, but with those temptations, I have provided a way of escape. It's your sight distance, folks. What are you focused on? What are you looking at? Amen? See, there's nothing bigger than God. Not the IRS. Not cancer. Not even death is bigger than God. That's right. Not Alan Greenspan and all the people in the Federal Reserve Bank and all that nonsense. None of those people are bigger than God. Not all the courts, not all the politicians. They're not bigger than God. He tells us, listen, the focus shouldn't be on what's going on around us. The focus should be, again, sight distance on what God says. And He's already promised us He's not a man that He can lie, not the Son of Man that He should repent. Hasn't He told us? And didn't he say, I will do it? And if I don't keep my word, then I've got to destroy myself? I will destroy myself, is what he says. So if our sight distance is right, no matter what the circumstances, those are the words that should ring in our spirits, in our hearts, in our minds, our emotions, our soul man. That's what our spirit should be crying out within us. And that should take us to those points or those things that we've studied in the Word and we've read and we've experienced up to now. See, remember, this walk is just a step-by-step walk. Amen? But you got to keep walking. Hallelujah. He's told us. When the circumstance comes or when the attack comes, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. Amen? He tells us in Psalm 91, hey, you got 911, use it. Psalm 91:1. What is the promise in Psalm 91:1? He that dwells, remains constant, abides in the secret place of the Most High, will abide under the shadow. You'll live constantly under the shadow of the Almighty. You can say of the Lord, He is your refuge, your fortress, your God, your strength. In Him you should be trusting. He says, only with your eye will you behold and see the reward of the wicked. He says, 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come nigh thee. What are we fussing about? What are we fearing? Why is our sight distance blocked with promises like that? Hasn't He said, All I have for you are thoughts for good. Right. Thoughts to prosper and not to harm you. Right. To give you a hope and a future. Amen? Hallelujah. Perspective. Very important that we keep the proper perspective. And I think that goes hand in hand with sight distance. Amen? Perspective. You know, everybody hears probably just about every day of your life about, you know, people who are optimistic or pessimistic. And if you want to, that's the ruler that you can measure where you're at with God right there. Are you optimistic or pessimistic? Is the glass half full or half empty? How many stories have we read in the Scripture? One I'm thinking about, you know, precisely what I think was Elijah or Elisha, where she went to the woman. And she basically had nothing, just enough for her and her child. And he told her what to do. Now, if her sight distance was blocked, she would have just said, no, I'm sorry, I got just enough for me and my son, now we're going to go off and die. Well, more or less, but you see, she did. Her sight distance was broadened. She saw over that. And she did. See, there was something in her heart. And she did exactly what she was asked to do. And the Scripture says that they never went without. Right? Hallelujah. See? It's not wrong to say, wait a minute, this is what's in front of me. But that's not the end of the story. See, you have to, as Paul Harvey would say, and now the rest of the story. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, when you start to think about things like this and you start to focus on what God says in the middle of what you may call a battle or circumstances, whatever you want to call it, that's when joy begins to set in. That's when peace begins to set in. Because you know that there's not one thing that's going on that God is not in control of if we'll just keep our sight distance. Amen? And that's not looking at the problem. That's looking beyond the problem and knowing the solution is right there in your hand. He says the Word of God is nigh you. It's right there next to you, even in your mouth. I remember a song we used to sing as little children, or we used to sing, and I think my children sang it, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little mouth, what you speak. Amen? Hallelujah. And that's what we got to do. It takes some work. But the outcome, folks, the outcome. The outcome. How many people fall apart when a loved one passes on? And yet, while we miss the person, there's great victory. Huh, Bill? Because your eyes are where they belong. And you were comforted. And you knew the truth. And what did the truth do for you? Made you free, didn't it? Made you free even to say, Lord, she's yours. Amen? Hallelujah. These kind of things don't happen overnight. It's a process and a walk. Amen? Hallelujah. See, and you know, think about this for a second. Isn't it amazing when the guy in the foxhole sees imminent death in front of him? What's the first thing he does? Oh, God! What does the Word say? Call upon me in the time of trouble. And I will show you great and mighty things which you don't know. See, and the cool part is, in our religiousness, we might say, well, he can cry out, but he didn't know the Lord, so he's about to die and he's going to go to hell. Uh-uh. You don't know that. Your sight distance is limited, folks. You start thinking like that. That could be the very thing that brings him to salvation. And what matters more than that? If he does die, he's gone on to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Amen? And how about you guys? I'm getting stirred up. I like this word tonight. I like it. It's giving me a whole new perspective and a new focus that enhances what's already God's already doing in me. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, it's so easy when things come, you know, for us to walk around, oh, dear God, do these things ever stop? Am I ever going to get the victory? Now, you know what I'm talking about. Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. You know? But we have the victory. It's ours. God's already fought the battle and won through what His Son did. It's ours. Now He's standing there saying, this is the way, walk in it. Amen? The only thing you got to do is start putting one foot in front of the other. Amen? How hard is that? Keep on keeping on, as they say in Texas. Praise God. See, it takes the presence of God. It takes surrendering your life to God for you to be able to come to the place where your perspective can be changed and where your sight distance can be lengthened. Not to look at circumstances. And you know, another thing is too. Sometimes in circumstances, we want to point a finger. Our sight distance gets limited. We all know that the Scripture says, and if we don't, I'm telling you now, hear this. Our enemy's not people. Our enemy is the one who's the enemy of God. He's the one who brings about things that are meant for our destruction, to bring calamity into our life. I mean, don't be like Adam and say, the woman you gave me. Or say, the husband you gave me. Or, oh dear God, the kids you gave me. You know? I heard somebody saying, for those of you who don't know that, does anybody in here know what the reward, what your reward is for not killing your kids? It's grandchildren. That was for free. Once again, I go back to be careful, little mouth. What you say. If you speak the problem, I guarantee the problem's going to get bigger. It's going to become overwhelming. And you're going to sink. You're going to sink. Keep your focus and your aim where it belongs. Keep your sight distance out there. You see, He promised us that He was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. Catch that word there. Underline that. Put a star by it. All. That you can ask or think.
Amen. That's right.
Amen? Things happen every day. But they're no different than what happens to every other person. The circumstances may be a little different. One of the places where we need to keep our sight distance in perspective is understanding that we have the whole, not the half, not a part, the whole armor of God. And even though you've heard me talk about Jerry Savelle and the message that he preached one time, where that you take that shield of faith and you've been warring and battling and there's chinks in your armor, I'll just share this for the benefit of Jen and maybe a few others. And all of a sudden, you know, it says, the Bible says that, you know, take on the shield of faith, which is able to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. And here you are, man, you think, Everything that could ever be thrown at me has been thrown at me. Every arrow the enemy could come up with. And all of a sudden you look up and there's a missile coming at you. And you think, dear God, this is it. I'm coming home. And when it's all over with, if you keep your sight distance right, you're still standing. Remember, we're not victims, we're victors. Amen? We need to get that down in our spirits and our hearts. We're not victims, we're victors. And you can't be a victor if all you consider yourself or all you can see in your sight distance is that I'm a victim all the time. Amen? We talk about God is good. And we say all the time. And then all the time, God is good. But does your sight distance and your actions and reactions really prove that out? Or is it just wishful thinking and happy talk? And you'll notice I'm not pointing any fingers at anybody. This is for me as well as everybody. Amen? Praise the Lord. We serve a good God. We serve a God who didn't just use idle words and He didn't just throw things on a page. He performed things in the Word and He hasn't changed. Hebrews 13:8, we all know that scripture says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He says, not one thing from the law, or not one thing in my book will pass away until all is fulfilled. Amen? We have the same abilities today that they had in the days of Jesus with the apostles and the prophets, with the disciples. We have that same ability. And it's not us, it's Christ in us. Remember the scripture that says it's Christ in us that's the hope of glory? Amen? We have the ability to do great exploits. The only thing that holds us down is our sight distance. Amen? I don't remember the exact way this is said, so I'm going to paraphrase this. But the scripture says, by Him, I have run through a troop and leaped over a wall. Did you hear the first part of that? By Him. Not in your own strength, wisdom, or abilities, but by Him. That's good. That's good. Praise the Lord. God's got things for us to do, folks. And if we stay held down by circumstances and things. And one of the things that we need to do is come out of ourselves and get our sight distance out there so that when there is a need, whether it's Gene and Marion, Harry, Bill, Stan and Connie, Patrick and Donna, the warfare went on. She's sitting here today. The battle's the Lord's, but the victory's ours. Where was our sight distance? Is she not sitting here? Does she not have a permanent resident status now? Your Bible says, and I echo this, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Praise the Lord. We're supposed to be able to do, and we're supposed to do, great exploits. With our ability? No. Through His ability. Him working through us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to give an opportunity. If this has touched your heart, or if you just want a double dose, or whatever the issue is, I want to give an opportunity for us to pray. Amen. I want this to ring in me, to be my focus day and night, that I keep my sight distance where it needs to be. No surprises. Even if I come to the top of the hill and there's some truck jackknifed in the bottom of that bridge at the bottom, and my airline breaks, no surprises. Just cry out, oh God. Oh God. That's all you got to say. Call upon me. He didn't say get on your knees and say, well, bless God, thou that sittest in the heavens, I'm in trouble, save me. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, call upon me in the time of trouble. Oh God. And in that, let your sight distance and your perspective be taken from the wreck at the bottom to the victory that's in God's hand. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We put a bid in for a job yesterday. And it was supposed to hear back maybe some on Friday, but we want to frame for abundant so that we can bless the kingdom.
Amen. Amen. How many know that's a righteous request? Yeah. It's not about them, it's about the kingdom. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we agree. You know, Lord, you made the promises, so we stand on those promises right now. We speak blessing, financial, and every other kind of blessing on Patrick and Donna and everyone in this place. Lord, in their particular situation, Lord, you heard the cry of their heart, and we are in agreement with that because it's according to your word and according to your plan, Lord. The most important thing is your kingdom, Lord, and we know their hearts. So we come in agreement with that. And we thank you, Lord, the blessing is there. Whether it's this or something else that's going to come, Lord, but we thank you that it's going to be quick. In Jesus' name, we thank you for abundance of rain, abundance of grace, abundance of finances. In Jesus' name, provisions, Lord, abundance of provision in every area. I speak that over everyone here also, not just them. Especially for them, since that was a request, but for everybody, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. The right job with the right pay. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. You're the one who gives seed to the sower. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Anybody else?
There was something I saw on one of the channels last night, one of the religious channels. I think it was 57 and 53. I forget what channel it is, but they were talking about, they actually had the young lady on the program, and she was battling cystic fibrosis, and it used to be believed that children with cystic fibrosis only lived to be about 10 years of age, but she actually lived to be 22, and she was supposed to have a double lung transplant, and she died right before she got the transplant. And it was a really enlightening experience for me. I mean, I didn't know anything about cystic fibrosis, but what I found to be similar with my situation with lymphoma and her situation with cystic fibrosis is the appreciation you have for life. It's like every day is a new day, and you really appreciate your days, and you want to make the most of each day, and things become important to you that might not have been important if you didn't have the illness, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like the disease that she had was different from mine, but the outlook that she had was very similar. I'm like, wow, it almost felt like they were talking to me right through the television.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to tell you that the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will fall, will bow, and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And that the name of Jesus is above every name. Now, I got to tell you, I kind of think that's backwards for a calamity to come. And then all of a sudden, if that's what sends you to the direction of God, praise the Lord. I'm for that. But what I'm saying is with the promises of God, and of course, this is a new day. His mercies are new every day. So there's no criticism here at all. But wouldn't it be better if we got a hold of the promises of God and looked from that perspective than wait till there's calamity and then all of a sudden start to value the days we have? Because God's already told us what his plan for us is. And we don't have to wait for calamity to come to be able to find that out or to be able to get a hold of that. Amen? Amen? Jesus paid the price for it all. There's not one name that you can name or that any doctor can name, I don't care if it's bird flu or whatever it is, that God doesn't know about, he doesn't have it all under control, and that we need to fear. Fear is to the enemy what faith is to God. We all know that. Fear brings torment. The Bible says that. But he hasn't given us the spirit of fear, has he? Power, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I don't know about you, if I think about a sound mind, that doesn't mean I'm fussing about what the next attack's going to be. I walk through it. Well, I'm going to remind you what the Word says first of all. And that is the fact, if you've made a decision for Jesus, then you can't be killed. Your flesh may go down, but that's not the end of the story. You're a triune being, just like the Godhead is triune. You are a spirit. You possess a soul. And you live in a suitcase called a body. I remember a story about a man who gave a testimony one time where he said he walked right up into this guy's face. This guy was facing death right in the eye. And he walked right up to him and said, you know, you can pull that trigger, but you can't kill me. And I mean, this man's intent, this man who was attacking this man or who was about to do this to this man, his intent was to kill this guy. And this man said, because he knew of the hope that was within him, he knew about it, he professed it. And he said, you can't kill me. He said, I'm already dead. And of course, you know, to somebody who's ungodly, as Stan would say. And you know that man got saved because of that? Dropped that gun, became born again. I remember the... Yeah, that's right. You draw the line in the sand. Amen. Let me share with you. I don't know. Some of you may have heard this. Some of you may not. In August of 1964, or 65, excuse me, I went to a Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship meeting at the Denver Hilton Hotel. It was the Hilton Hotel then, not the Adams Mark. And that night, a gentleman by the name of Frank Folio was speaking. He was a businessman and a preacher. I mean, he was well known. And I remember the story that he told, and he told about his Italian family and some of the things that went on. And I mean, it was comical. It was comical. Like one night, you know, his mom's down there, and she's talking about this big feast and stuff, but she's talking about the Word. And when Papa Folio comes in, he's waiting, there's no smells of spaghetti and ravioli and things like that cooking. And he's getting nervous. Man, when you invite the family over for food and there's not food, you're liable to get trampled to death. You're liable to get stomped. And times when she would go and she'd stand right under his room and she'd pray, and he'd feel just like a ray gun, that thing coming up there and say, Mama, I know you're down under praying. Mama, you're crazy. Mama would even go. She'd take the little kids, she'd take them around the neighborhood and preach Jesus. Went to this one house after she'd been through the neighborhood. And this guy had been watching every step she took. And he was waiting for her. And he had the biggest knife you ever saw in your life. And when she walked through that door, he closed the door behind her and stood in front of it. I'm going to kill you. And Mama Folio talked to him for a few minutes. And then she said, please let me pray before you do that. She got down on her knees. Just like Jesus when he was on the cross. And she says, oh God, she says, forgive this man, for he don't know what he do. And the power of God hit that man and he dropped the knife. And then he went the rest of the way through the neighborhood, pushing doors open when they tried to close it. You're going to listen and hear about Jesus. See, these aren't just stories, folks. This is reality. This is the power of God at work. Where's your sight distance?
I heard another testimony on the radio. Guy in Romania, this has been a while back, but he was accused of preaching the gospel, and they were going to basically put him to death. And he just got up there in court and said, you know, he didn't deny none of this preaching stuff. He said, well, I hope you do kill me, because as soon as you do, I'm going to have, all my followers are going to be very sad, but they're going to be 10 times stronger because of my death. And they didn't kill him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He ended up serving the Romanian church. He was extradited out of the country, but he kept on serving the Romanian church.
Man, folks, I don't know if you've thought about this, but I want on my epitaph, he served God. He loved and he served God to the very end. My daughter gave me years ago a little keychain taken right out of 3 John that says, Dad, wise teacher. I give God credit for that. I give Him the glory for that. I'm just a man. And whatever I am or whatever I will be or whatever I've accomplished is because of Him. But then it went on to say what Jesus said or what God said. No greater joy have I than my children walk in truth. It's real, folks. This ain't no game. This ain't no joke. This is for real. It's more real than the very air you breathe. It's real. See, I have no doubt. I have no doubt what's going to happen. I know there's going to be a testimony that's going to bless the kingdom of God. We've heard testimonies about what's going on in the Tsetlev family with Stan personally, even with Desiree when she was dying, and he laid her down and said, God, she's yours. You gave her to me, and I gave her back, and God raised her up. I have no doubt of what the outcome is. How about you? Where's your sight distance? Where's your perspective in this? It can't come out any other way. For it to come out any way but the right way means God is a failure. And how many know that's not possible? You know, I don't care what else I accomplish in life. And it's not just for me. This is not just my desire for me, but for every one of you. It's for people to look back and say, Harry, Bill, Patrick, Donna, Jen, Richard, Marion, Jean, served God. And what does the Bible say about that? When we do that, it's counted to us for righteousness. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I pray you're encouraged tonight. I pray you've received something from this. You know, I'm not smart enough to come up with something like this. You know? And what's funny is it really wasn't even Scripture. It was just the word, sight distance. God's good. And He cares about us. And He knew that more than just me needed this tonight. Amen? How many can say that? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's amazing what happens when you come out of yourself and surrender to Him. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Anybody else need prayer for anything? Hallelujah. I want to encourage you all with this before we close in prayer here. Don't let the enemy come and bring guilt and condemnation about where you've been. Your Bible says that if your heart condemns you, He is greater than your heart. And He says there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We all make mistakes, but that's not the end of the story. We pick ourselves up. We go again. We all know the Scripture says, a righteous man falls 7 times, but rises up again. When you're in trouble is when you fail to get up. Or you let that fall keep you down. Don't do that. If it means calling somebody on the phone and said, man, I need prayer, I need encouragement, then do so. We are our brother's keeper, folks. We are. What does that mean? That means we run to God. We do everything within our ability, but the first thing we do is run to God. Amen? The author and the finisher of our faith. The one who's begun a good work in us and who will perform that work until the return of His Son, Jesus Christ. The one who works in us not only to will, to have the will, but to do of His good pleasure. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. One more time. Anybody need prayer? Then, Father, right now, I give You praise and honor and glory that You took this vessel and spoke through me what You wanted spoken, Lord. I pray that my words fell to the ground. And through the foolishness of preaching, Lord, Your word went out. And now Your word is sealed in every heart here. That tonight is the beginning of a new perspective and a new walk. An advanced walk, an invigorated walk with You, where once again, according to Your word, all of our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, have been illuminated and enlightened because of Your word and because of Your presence here. We thank You for it. We love You and give You praise. Thank You for meeting us here. For this we give You glory and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody who agrees says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.